Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Eat Local New York podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Tringale, and I have the incredible pleasure of sitting down and talking with Miss Dreamer Glenn here on the podcast just a few moments ago. Wonderful conversation. I'm so glad that she was able to come down today. Sometimes on the podcast, we have episodes just banked. I record like four or five in a day, and they're just ready to go, and bam. And sometimes I struggle thinking about, well, who do I want on next? And so that was one of those times where I was struggling, like, who do I want to have on the podcast? Last week, I had the idea to reach out to the Salt City Market and have all eight of their food entrepreneurs on the episode one after the other. So I would have eight episodes, 2 months of nothing but promoting the Salt City Market and everything that these entrepreneurs are doing. So I reached out and they sent out an email, and Dreamer was the first person to jump on it. And I'm so glad that she did. She has her pop-up that's going to be happening at the With Love restaurant location. And Salt City Market has been doing this each week, featuring a new entrepreneur. And she talks about the details of it, but I believe, it's the 12th, 13th, and 14th of August. So it's this coming Wednesday, Thursday, Friday that you're going to be able to get some of her amazing food. And you can find out the details. She talks about it and gives the details at the end of the episode. Or check out the show notes. I'll have it in there. I'm just thrilled I was able to sit down and talk with her. Such a wonderful person. Great conversation. I really know that you're going to enjoy this one. And a huge shout out to our sponsors for this week's episode, Glazed and Confused Donuts. Huge shout out to them, doing it right here in Syracuse. Amazing donuts, creative donuts, delicious donuts. Longest line for food in Syracuse consistently, maybe. I think that's an award that they're going to get. But just phenomenal place. Check them out. Glazed and Confused Donuts, downtown Syracuse. Easy to get in, easy to get out. They're not going to break your bank. I mean, I just can't say enough about them. They're at 211 North Clinton Street, so go check them out, Glazed and Confused Donuts. Special shout out to our friends over at Peaks Coffee Company for being just an awesome, awesome, awesome group of people and making some delicious coffee. So Peaks Coffee Company, definitely check them out online. They have really a great Instagram account for a coffee company here in Syracuse. So check out Peaks Coffee Company and get some very delicious coffee. You can find them online at peakscoffeeco.com. You can also find them at their very gorgeous cafe, which is located at 1200 East Genesee Street right here in Syracuse. Well, without further ado, here is my conversation with Dreamer Glenn. You know, I used to be very edited with these, and I used to, like, be really concerned about them and try to put a lot of effort into after the fact and taking out all my uhs and ums.
And that's my problem, the uhs and the ums. But it's human. It's who you are.
Yeah, so, exactly.
You know, when you speak to me, you're going to hear those uhs and ums and all that good stuff. So why not, you know?
The biggest thing that frustrates me about myself doing it that I noticed is I do it as other people are talking. And so I'm not a silent listener. Like, a great interviewer is a silent listener.
Right.
I'm not that person.
It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me.
So that was the biggest thing for me. But well, let's get started. We're here with Miss Dreamer, and you've got a restaurant that's opening up in the Salt City Market coming up here in the fall.
I do.
All right. Tell us a little bit.
So I am Dreamer Glenn, and I am owner of Miss Prissy's, which is a catering business. We've been catering and doing things in, about, and around the city for a very long time. And we finally have an opportunity to get a brick and mortar, if you will.
Yeah.
And we're super excited about it. We're excited to be a part of the Salt City family, and we're looking forward to November.
Yeah, that's awesome. My wife and I, we got married in October, and which I still say it like it was just a month ago, but it's almost a year now.
Well, congratulations.
And, so we went to Hawaii on our honeymoon, And that was a wild experience. But they had a food hall there, and that's an amazing little creation for sure.
It is.
I mean, I can't wait to see what it's going to be like in Syracuse.
It is. And I just hope that it does what it's supposed to do. You know, Food is like the ultimate unifier, you know, and if you can get a little bit of everybody's culture in one spot, you know, you can have a lot of positivity there. You can do a lot of things. So I'm super excited to be a part of such a larger conglomerate.
Yeah. When did you first hear about the market and the auditions?
Oh my goodness. So I first heard about the market when it was just an idea. You know, I was approached and, you know, hey, we have this idea, you know, would you sit in on a couple of meetings and let me know, you know, what you think about it and what are your ideas? So, okay. And, you know, went to the meetings and sat around a bit and was like, oh, okay, if they do it, wonderful. If not, you know, so be it. And then the application time came. And to be honest with you, I did not want to apply for Salt City Market. It was not on my list of things to do.
Yeah.
A good friend of mine actually, you know, filled out the application and told me that I was going to the informational meeting. And here we are.
Yeah. Wow.
Because I was actually done with I was done with it all.
Oh,
I was just done. And, you know, it turned out to work in my favor. So, you know, I was selected. The application process, I think it started off as like 100 and it's over, well over 100.
Yeah.
And then we had a first go round. So we had two segments. So I was a part of the spring cohort.
Okay.
And then another cohort came in the fall. And the decisions were made based upon those two cohorts of people. Excuse me, they had to, you know, select just eight of us. So they've got the best of the best, and here we are.
I was just thinking about that because I was going through some of the old pictures from the market, and like especially just February, like the selection. To think that they had to comb through everyone, all of those people, all those applicants, all that food. You know, and then whittled it down to eight people that they thought were the best.
It was like an episode of Chopped.
Yeah.
Pretty much. You know, every time you got an email, like, I live to fight another day. This is wonderful. Okay, on to the next round. So it was a great experience.
Yeah, you know,
it was a great experience.
So you said you were done, like, when that application time came. I mean, how long? I mean, you've had the catering business for
I've been in the game years. For 17, 18 years.
Wow.
And we all know we live in upstate New York, and, you know, just the red tape and the paperwork and, you know, just trying to get a food business.
Yeah.
One of the most riskiest business that you could ever partake in, you know, off the ground in New York. You know, you go to a bank. Oh, I need $35,000-$40,000 because I want to cook. And they're looking at you like you have eight heads. Like, yeah, okay. Let me know how that works out for you.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just. You know, it was very hard.
Yeah.
Very hard to get your foot in the door. And Syracuse is, we all know, it's a who you know town.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to know the right people to get into the right places and to have those doors open.
Yeah.
So as I said, it's a wonderful project.
Yeah.
You know, to be a part of, you know, the whole umbrella that you're walking under for right now can open many doors in the future.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know, so I was just done with the whole process, the back and forth, you know, the red tape, or you can do this here, or we'll put you out here, but we won't put you here. Just the whole bureaucracy.
Yeah.
You know, of it all. I was just, I'd had enough, you know.
Can you tell me, can we talk about that? Because, I mean, without, like, I don't want you to, like, spill your guts and tell me, like, start naming names, but that's so wild to me because, I mean, first of all, I think anybody who's going to open up a brick and mortar is, I've always admired those people and looked up to them just because, you know, like, I have this business, I have a full-time job, and I've always been the type of person where I'll start like the small, you know, side hustle businesses.
Right.
You know, my family always makes fun of me for that. When I was, you know, I had a furniture store when I was like 21 years old and, I used to live in Central Texas and, I had a window washing company when I was there, you know, I had a car detailing business.
It's all about the hustle.
Yeah, exactly. About the hustle. You know, so I did all that kind of stuff. So for me, it's like, starting, you know, things that don't cost a lot, or I can, you know, run around and do them like door to door or the internet. I've never thought about, you know, for me, I wouldn't want to take the risk of trying to open up a restaurant, of all things. Even if I thought I had the best idea or the best food, it's still scary as hell to me. But I didn't know that there was like that much of like a hassle to go through and getting something open like that.
It is, you know, down to your location, and you have to think about that very strategically, location and zoning and traffic and how accessible, you know, it is to your potential customer, you know, and then you get into licensing, you know, and permits, and you have to go through New York State Health Department and your local health department, just the financing, of it all, especially for, you know, Black and brown people.
Yeah.
It's, you know, 100 times more difficult than it would be for someone else.
Yeah.
You know, we're an automatic risk factor.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So it just makes it harder.
Crazy.
Makes it harder, you know, and the restaurant industry is kind of, everybody loves to eat, but everybody thinks they just drive by and it's just there one day. They don't know what it actually took to get that restaurant there.
Yeah.
It's a lot of hard work, you know, and you see the franchise, the chain restaurants, they go up so quickly because they have a parent.
Yeah.
You know, they have a parent company, you know, they have, you know, they put so much money in, but at the end of the day, it's...
Yeah, you're backed by
somebody. Yeah, you're backed by a larger name. Yeah. So, of course, you're going to be successful. Of course, you're gonna make it, you know. And if you fall, it's not that big of a brunt, you know.
Right.
But for someone like me who's a soul, you know, you own it. It's right. yours, you know. And you put all your blood, sweat, tears, savings, you know, bootstrap financed it. You know, it's a different level.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
You know, it's a different level because... And even employees, because you take that, you're taking their livelihood into your hands. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not successful, they can't feed their children. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole different dynamic, you know, and just getting it off the ground. It's stressful.
Yeah.
It's truly a labor of love. And if you don't love it, you really should just leave it alone. You really should leave it alone.
Yeah.
It's really, I find in Syracuse, it's not, you know, you say you want to own a restaurant. It was like, yeah, okay. You know, that's okay. Here we go. You know, another restaurant that's going to, you know, be closed down in 5 years or 5 months even.
Yeah, right.
You know, so it's just very hard to go through the red tape.
Yeah.
And to think about all of the behind the scenes things, you know, the levels of insurance, you know, that you have to have. It's a lot. It's a lot to it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's, like I said, it's truly a labor of love.
Yeah.
So you have to love what you do.
I just had Steve Samuels on. We just recorded this past week. And, you know, he's been a chef in Syracuse for decades. And we were talking about that. We're talking about, like, when you go into work every night, not just a chef, but as a chef, as anybody in the restaurant industry, you're going in and getting the crap kicked out of you every single night.
Every night.
You know, and it's not like at my job, if I have a bad day and I, you know, misspell a word in my Facebook post or something, nothing really is going to happen from that. You know, even if I'm like working on a project with coworkers and I have a bad day, so what? As a chef, as a server, as, you know, anybody in the industry, if you go in and have a bad day, that person jumps online and leaves a review.
Everybody's going to know about it.
They may not come back. You know,
absolutely.
There's so many different things. It's a tough ask to be in this industry. And you're right. You really do have to love it.
You do. You have to have that drive and that passion for it. And I find that if you have that drive, that passion, that zeal, it comes out.
Yeah.
It comes out in your food. Hmm. You know, it comes out in the way that you interact with your customers. You have to love what you do.
Yeah.
And when you stop, leave it alone. You have to just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been doing it for years and you've had a catering business. Is that right?
Yes. I started out, Miss Prissy's actually started out as a catering business. And we would do, you know, small parties and, you know, graduations and weddings and, you know, all the good catering gigs, slopping yeah. stuff back and forth all across town over Syracuse. You know, you live and you learn,
yeah.
you know. So we started out that way. And then with the, you know, with the publicity and the notoriety mm-hmm. of the Salt City Market, you know, before Corona hit, we were back to back booked.
Mm. Wow.
And, you know, it was just like, oh my God, you know, because they saw my face on the news, you know, yeah. they saw this logo.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, we're going to, you know, we're going to see what, you know, Miss Prissy's can do. And we started getting contracts with hospitals and, you know, so it became like, oh, wow. Okay. This is where I wanted to be. But now that I'm here, what the hell do we do?
Yeah.
You know, and it's been a wonderful ride. Business was great.
Yeah.
You know, until.
Yeah.
You know, until COVID.
Yeah, right.
Pre-COVID business was fantastic.
Yeah.
But it's really been a blessing because even in that aspect with the catering, we haven't missed a beat.
Yeah.
Because although our events were canceled, you know, we were approached by Community Plates and the Allen Foundation.
Oh,
so
yeah.
we prepared over 16,800 meals,
wow.
you know, to give to the community to help feed them,
wow.
you know, during this pandemic. So we were super,
yeah.
super proud
That's
to
awesome.
Be able to take part in that. And,
yeah.
you know, just an awesome experience and to do what you love
mm-hmm.
and to be able to serve the community at the same time was just totally awesome for
yeah.
us. So
I
we
bet.
Were super excited. So we really didn't miss a beat,
yeah.
you know. We stayed busy.
That's awesome.
And some smaller, you know, community events and
yeah.
meetings trickled in. So we were able to keep our heads above water.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Are you noticing it? Like, I mean, obviously you stayed busy, but have you noticed any like more events picking up now or?
They are.
Yeah.
They are. We are. Yes. I'm like booked out on the 5th, on the 11th. And then I go right into my,
yeah.
to my curbside takeout. So, you know, people are excited to see the sunshine.
Yeah.
People are excited to be able to, even if it's socially distanced,
mm-hmm.
They're excited to be able to gather
yeah.
again. And I think that, you know, so what if I have to wear a mask? So what if I have to stay 6 feet apart? You know, I'm just happy to see another person
yeah.
and to get outside and enjoy it.
Yeah.
So, you know, little things are starting to
yeah.
to pick back up and the phone's starting to ring
awesome.
Again. And I think that we're slowly starting to get back to our new normal.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll ever be the same again, but.
Yeah, I know. It's strange.
It is really strange. It's strange, but I think that, you know, this will be the way of the world for just for a while.
Yeah.
So we just as well buck up, saddle up and strap in and take the ride.
I was just about to say, man, it makes me so sad. And then you just said to buck us.
Yeah, it does.
True.
It's really yeah. sad though, because we've had a gorgeous summer. What we just
I
hit
know.
The record for July,
yeah.
the hottest July ever.
Yeah.
And you know, there's only so much we can do.
Yeah,
you know,
for
we
sure.
can sit on a porch, we can go to a park,
right.
but you know, the things that I have a graduate. My son is
oh,
graduating
wow.
high school.
Wow.
You know, and just the way that we celebrate that. You
yeah.
know, he didn't have a prom. He didn't have you know, his graduation ceremony is on Monday and I have to watch from a car.
Wow, it's this Monday.
This coming Monday.
Wow.
So I have to watch from a car, you know, and just the celebration in general.
Hmm.
We can pretty much only have
yeah.
family, you know, so it's
yeah.
just a different,
it's crazy,
different time,
yeah,
you know, different time.
It's when the masks were first like, all right, everybody has to wear a mask
oh,
in public,
gosh.
It was like, it was amazing how angry people were, like,
right?
I mean, my wife worked from home the majority, like, really, well, the entire time she has. And especially those first couple months, I was still going out. I was still going to work and to the office every day. And I was the one going to the store and just doing anything in
mm-hmm.
public. And there was for a few weeks there in the beginning, you didn't have to wear a mask
right.
out. And then when you did, I started to notice people were like starting to get a little. And now I feel like that's subsided now that everybody's kind of used to it.
Right, right.
But yeah, it's we went to so. We started going to church and trying to find a new church maybe in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Last fall we started. So we were like going around just trying to find a church that would fit. And we were going to this church called Believer's Chapel.
Believer's Chapel. Yep. Yeah. I'm familiar with it.
All right. Mm-hmm. So we were going there. And then the holidays hit and we were out of town. And then we were on our honeymoon and just all this stuff happened. So we ended up in for a couple weeks, and then COVID happened, and obviously nobody was going to church anymore.
Right? At all. Yeah. Our church is still shut down. Oh, so, really? Yes.
What church do you go to?
Second Olivet on a corner of West and Shonard Street.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah.
Yep, so we're there.
Yeah. Back in the day, I grew up in church and was always like, my parents were always volunteering. My brother and his wife are pastors at a church down in New York.
Okay.
And then my sister's a traveling minister, and she lives in Nashville now. But I grew up, you know, doing that.
You're church baby.
Yeah.
You know it. Right. Yeah. So am I, church baby. Yeah.
When I was in high school, we went to Solid Rock on River Life on James Street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we went there. But there's this church that friends from years ago are starting called Thrive City Church. And so they haven't even started it yet. You know, they're like planting this church like as COVID's happening. They had like a get to know us meeting though at Dinosaur Barbecue though a couple weeks ago. So
well, food, I mean, you know, I mean, any the ultimate that, unifier, church, all the things you love in one spot.
I mean, when the church is something over a barbecue, it's it's hard to pass up and say
hard
no.
Hard to say no.
All right. Mm-hmm. But now they're launching and it's all online.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They just got a space here in the Delavan Center.
Okay.
But yeah, so it's all gonna be online. It's just a weird time. Mm-hmm. You know,
it really is, you know, just it's so weird, you know, school, you know, planning for opening. I still have one that's in school and it's just like, okay, well, what does that look like, you know? And if it does open, then what do we do to make certain that you're safe, because you can't be certain that everybody's going to be responsible as you are, you know? So how does this really look, you know? And I understand both dynamics with parents having to go back to work but they and not having childcare, and you know, it's a really ugly
For sure,
ugly time.
Have they released their plan yet for what
they have they have? So for her grade, she'll be going into the 10th grade.
Okay.
So they're going to stay home and do total remote learning, but they're going to send the younger ones to school off and on on some type of a schedule. So it's tough.
I know. It's crazy.
It's really crazy. Really tough.
Huh.
Really tough.
And then, I mean, especially going into the fall when the restaurant's going to be opening.
Right. November.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't know.
November. That's not that.
It's a few months away.
That's wild.
You know, we don't know what that looks like.
Yeah.
Realistically. I mean, you know, all the dreams of a grand opening and, you know, ribbon cutting and stuff like that, we may not.
Wow.
Be able to do that. You know, when we open, we might have to be at 50% capacity. We might be takeout only. You know, we don't know what that looks like.
Yeah.
You know, the perils of opening a business in the middle of a pandemic. You know, it's crazy. Like crazy.
Yeah.
But here we are, you know, holding down the fort and, you know, people are like, will I slow down? Will I stop? No, I have been busy every single day, 7 days a week since March 17th when the city shut down. I became super busy, you know, so it's just, you know, you do what you do and you just go with it.
Yeah.
I've learned that I'm totally type A personality. Everything has to be just so and just right.
Mm-hmm.
But one, when you're in the food industry, have to learn to let that go.
Yeah.
And secondly, with the timing and everything that's going on in the world, you just have to have that flexibility and realize that you have to make some adjustments.
Yeah.
Because things are not going to be as you would like them to be.
Yeah. Hmm. I'm going to restart the cameras real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they only have a certain time limit on each one.
Well, you know, I'm a bit, and I was an only child for 18 years.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I am like totally.
Yeah. So you were used to it and then everything changed.
Used to it.
That's funny.
So I'm a bit of a brat.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Did you grow up around here?
I did. I was born and raised here in Syracuse.
Okay.
I lived in right across the street from Nottingham High School. You know, that's where I kind of my stomping grounds on the east side, you know, that Syracuse DeWitt border.
Yeah.
So that's where I grew up.
Okay.
And I went to Henniger Black Knights all day. Yeah. So I went there and I went to SUNY Albany.
Okay.
For college, undergrad and grad.
Okay.
And the most part I've always come back home.
Yeah. What did you major in?
Human biology.
Really?
Strangely enough, and I'm standing behind a stove every day.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah.
Human biology. It was with hopes and dreams that I would eventually go to med school.
Okay.
But life happened.
Yeah.
I got married and divorced and had kids and stuff like that. And
life
gave me a good run for my money. but my heart and my passion was always cooking, was always service.
Okay.
And I just fell back on what I knew how to do.
Yeah.
You know, and it's brought me the most joy and I'm satisfied. I'm happy. I'm happier than I've ever been in a long time.
That's awesome.
Doing what I love to do.
Yeah.
So
that really is. I mean, you know, it's easy to kind of have something to like a goal to attain or a level to reach or whatever the case is. But if you can just figure out a way to be happy in wherever you are. Like genuinely happy, not just kind of the fake.
Right.
You know, well, I'm doing good.
Along and get along because my paycheck looks good.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, if you can find a way to be happy and where you are, that's really that's the most important thing in life.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'll go through. Am I going to be 30? I'm going to be 34 next month. Yeah, I'm going to be 34 next month.
I got you by 10 years.
Oh, there you go. You know, I just kind of, we didn't grow up in like a rich family by any stretch of the imagination, not even close to it, you know. And my dad was in the restaurant industry and always trying to, you know, kind of make it.
Mm-hmm.
But so we grew up, you know, I don't know, I'd say upper lower class, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God I had grandparents, my dad's parents that were always there to like.
Yep, my grandmother raised me, so I get it.
So I grew up in Kentucky, and then we moved here when I was 13 because my dad's from Syracuse, my mom's from Kentucky.
Okay.
And his parents were here and older, so getting, you know, they couldn't take care of themselves anymore. So we moved. I'm the youngest of four, and so we moved up here, and I started high school. I went to a small, like, I was homeschooled my whole life. And I went to a small private Christian school. And when I say small, I mean there was like 30 people.
Where'd
in
you
there.
Go?
This was in Kentucky.
Okay, in Kentucky,
yeah.
Okay.
So there was like 30 people in a class.
Okay.
A whole graduating class,
mm-hmm.
right? There was only 30 people. So I went
that
from,
is small.
Yeah. I went from that to then Syracuse and, you know, West Hill Public School.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff, you know, so.
Culture shock.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but went from like this, you know, tiny house in Kentucky, and then we moved in with my grandparents and they had a big house and it was like, wow, look at this.
Yeah. Right, right.
But so Kentucky to Syracuse. But for some reason, I always felt like when I was like, just could have been being the youngest and dumb and naive, but I was just like, you know, one day I'm going to have like a big house and, you know, be really wealthy.
American dream.
Right. And I'm getting to a point at 34 where I'm like now thinking to myself, that may not, that's probably not going to happen.
That is out door.
I mean, I'm still going to try, but you know, the reality is kind of, you know, 6 years ago, I would be sitting down, you know, dreaming about, you know, I'm going to move there. I'm going to move here. I'm going to live in this place. I'm going to, and being married now. And, you know, as we're planning a family and all that kind of stuff, I'm starting to realize now.
Oh, wait till the kids come.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait till like, the kids come.
Those things aren't happening.
Really throw a monkey wrench in the game plan. But, you know, you're absolutely right. And, you know, I just had to learn to let go and to realize that it's not my plan but yeah. It's God's plan for me.
There you go.
And whatever his plan is, yeah. is what's going to happen. And it may have taken me a little while to get there because of my own, you know,
yeah.
my own, yeah, hard-headed stubbornness, because this is what I want to do and this is how I'm going to do it. And I want it done this way.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you totally relinquish that, you know, great things, you know, start to happen. And that's exactly how it went. You know, you know, like I said, life happened. I caught hell for at least 7 years. But when I finally, you know, just kind of bowed down and sucked it up and was like, all right, apparently this is not what I'm supposed to be doing.
There you go.
Everything turned literally, you know, like almost overnight in the beginning of 2018 was the beginning of this journey for me.
Wow.
So it's, you know, you just have to trust.
Yeah.
And stay the course.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and just.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have faith. It'll work out.
Yeah.
You know, but it does not go as you plan. So anybody listening or watching that has a plan, you know, a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, those are just ideas. They are just ideas and subject to change. And that's how I, you know, how I view it. You just have to be flexible and not so rigid and not so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
Not so hard on yourself.
Yeah. It's, I mean, yeah. So I could talk about that all day long.
Yeah.
So tell me, I mean, like, you know, walk me through when you started the catering company. I mean,
so I started the catering company a while ago. I actually had a child and, you know, I needed to stay home.
Mm-hmm.
And that cut our income in half. I was married at the time.
Okay.
You know, so I was like, okay, what in the world am I going to do to bring some money in this house? Because, you know, we weren't rich.
Yeah.
You know, I need to make some money. So I started cooking.
Okay.
And then it was like, okay, well, this is going pretty good. Okay, so let me get a license for it. You know, let's be legal. And so I did that and it just grew from there. It really did. It just grew from there. Word started getting out and, you know, I did weddings and small parties and, you know, it was in my house. It was always a love of food. My grandmother taught me how to cook. She taught me, you know, everything that I know. So I was standing on stools, frying eggs at 4 years old, you know, and that was her thing. She was a person of service. You know, she served her church. She served her family. She served her community. And her way of doing that was through food.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, I was my grandmother's knee baby. So it was kind of a learned behavior, you know, if you will.
Yeah.
And just watching her, you know, in the joy that she got when somebody ate her food, you know, and they were happy. I think that's the most personal thing that you can give, you know, to someone is to cook for them. It's a gift.
Yeah.
You know, and everything just grew from that love, from watching her. And, you know, she was super happy and I would help her and I would be super happy because she's super happy and the people that's eating are super happy, you know, so we can all be happy from one pot of spaghetti that costs $12 to make. You know, why is the world so evil?
Yeah.
You know, everybody just eat spaghetti. You'll be happy. You know, so it all started from there. And, you know, with the catering and then I wanted a restaurant.
Yeah.
I wanted a brick and mortar and just looking around and, you know, this building and that building and, you know, then running into the red tape and the bureaucracy. Oh, well, you can't have it here. You know, oh, well, no, that's not zoned for this. And, okay, well, you know, you're going to need X amount of dollars. And because you're a new business, you know, we're not going to give you startup money and working capital.
Oh, really?
You know, so you need to find a business that's turnkey. And then if you find a business that's turnkey, then it's a restaurant. So you're going in the same circle, we're not going to give you the working capital because you're a startup still. It's like, well, how in the hell am I supposed to not be a startup if you won't give me anything to start with? You know, so it was just one vicious cycle. So going back to what we said before, that's why I was so, so over it. So when Salt City Market came, I was like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so done with this because I'd been through it several times before, only to you know, get going and hit that roadblock, like, up, nope, can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, financing, funding. Okay. You know, I have 10%, I have 5%. Yeah. But still, we're not, it's a high risk. We're, we're not going to give it to you, you know? So it's been a long journey.
Yeah.
You know, but I am true living evidence of, you know, with faith, persistence and hard work.
Right.
Where it can get you, because certainly, you know, we've signed a lease with Salt City Market, and I know that's not my end destination.
Yeah.
You know, it's a stepping stone, you know, and a wonderful one, you know, to get all of the entrepreneurs where they need to be, you know, and if you don't use this opportunity wisely, shame on you.
Yeah. I was thinking about that, like, you know, for the entrepreneurs that are going in there, this is going to be a beautiful building and
brand spanking new.
Exactly. I mean, you know, working at Gearhart, I get to see kind of like, you know, it's like, all right, I want this there, you know, like you're getting this, lay it all out. And I mean, you're going into a beautiful space with more marketing, advertising money put behind the opening.
Absolutely.
Than probably any other restaurant that's ever going to open in Syracuse. So I'd imagine it's probably pretty difficult to not view that as like the end game, you know?
Right.
Like
right.
If you're going to be probably pretty disappointed, I'd imagine if that's like the end result.
That's all there is.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You know,
cause you're there for a year. Is that right?
Three years. 3 years.
Yeah.
And you know, within 3 years, you know, you have a chance to hone your craft.
Okay.
You have a chance to hone your craft. You have a chance to develop your brand.
Yeah.
You have a chance to build your clientele. Hmm. And you have the supports there if you need them to be, you know, because they're not like pushing you in this space and leaving you out high and dry and be like, okay, here you are. We've been in classes since last year.
Hmm.
Business development, training, QuickBooks, how to treat your customers, recipe development, costing, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
So we've been given the tools that we need to make this a successful run. And like I said, if you don't use that to your advantage,
right,
then shame on you.
What's it like with the rest of the group? Is everybody kind of like, I mean, part of me envisions like this group text between all of you.
There is. It's so funny. There's a Facebook, group.
Oh, nice.
Group chat.
Yeah.
But they are, you know, it's super helpful.
Yeah.
You know, there's no competition.
That's cool.
You know, amongst any of us, we all got here the same way.
Yeah.
You know, and if there's anything that anyone can do, you know, they try to pitch in and, you know, help each other out and stuff like that. But it's really a great group of people.
Cool.
We have Thai food and Burmese and Jamaican, and we have another soul food guy. We have pies and we have cakes, and you know, it's just gonna be a wonderful way to, you know, to just bring everybody together.
Yeah.
You know, awesome. And also I think to eliminate some of this cultural bias and ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people maybe don't know anything about Burmese food or Thai food, and what a great way to share your culture.
Yeah.
You know, than through your food.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that this market is going to do a great service, you know, to downtown Syracuse.
Yeah.
I really do.
So you're cooking up soul food, right?
I'm cooking up soul food, American soul. That's American soul. There's classic soul and there's neo soul.
Yeah.
So it's,
what's the classic soul? Is that more like...
classic soul is down south. That's the straight macaroni and cheese, fried chicken, fried fish, you know, collard greens and smothered and stuffed with gravy.
Yeah, right.
All that stuff.
I was thinking about this before you got here, like, you know... When I, you know, I grew up in Kentucky, lived in Texas, lived in California for a really short time. I've lived in Southern Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't think I've ever met people be happier about a type of food than especially when I lived in Texas, and that was soul food and that was Puerto Rican food.
Mm-hmm.
People were, I mean, it was a celebration.
You get excited.
Eat. Yeah. Like,
absolutely, because you know that's when the butter comes out.
Yeah,
that's
right. Yeah.
Butter makes everything better.
Yeah, for sure.
Butter and bacon.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong with butter and bacon. So those are, you know, some of the traditional things that will, you know, will that's be awesome. On our menu. And then we have the neo soul, you know, which is a nod to the lighter side of soul food. Okay. You know, we take the soul food traditions and we put a twist on it. We northernize it, if you will. You know, so you can get things like a massaged collard chicken and waffle salad. Get a chicken Waldorf salad. You know, you can get chicken and Cajun pasta.
Yeah.
You know, so we try to lighten things up a bit. Try to play both sides of the fence, if you will.
I love that chicken and waffle salad.
Yeah, with a homemade maple vinaigrette dressing. So that's you know.
I'm sure that's gonna be good, but
but it's a different.
Yeah,
twist
for sure.
On it,
yeah.
You know, and just trying to be innovative and realize that not everybody wants to eat macaroni and cheese in the middle of the day and go back to work because it is heavy.
Yeah,
you
for
know,
sure.
It is heavy. So, you know, we try to take that into consideration and, you know, be able to serve the market.
Yeah.
You know, to serve that, you have to know your dynamic, you know, in business. You have to know your customer, you know, and although that might be a weekend dish, they might just want to grab a quick salad and go back to work.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to navigate, if you will, and to be able to make those adjustments and changes.
See, I like that, and I don't like that. I do like that because it's smart, right?
Right.
It's like it's trying to, you know, keep it, you know, like, listen, I want to be able to sell it to anybody and everybody, so I'm going to have everything on the menu that I can, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it reminds me of this group, this band who... I've told this story before, but basically they had their album with their hits and they had been around and they had just put out a new album and they were playing this concert and their manager comes to them backstage and says, hey, all the record execs are here and the band have been planning on playing all their new stuff. And the record, their manager said, the record executives want to hear all the hits. And so the band sat backstage and like had this, however long conversation, argument amongst themselves. Well, do we go out there and play to the crowd and play the hits that they want to hear? Or do we play the stuff that we just wrote, the creative stuff that we want, you know? And ultimately, and the guy had written this book about it and his ultimate thing was play for yourself, write a song for yourself. Don't write it thinking about who's going to be listening to this one day and what do they want to hear, but write it for yourself.
Because those are the hits.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Those are the hits.
And you might get stuck playing those hits for the rest of your life, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I struggled with that in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I struggled with that. It was, I am a down home soul food cook.
Yeah.
My food isn't pretty.
Yeah.
Don't come to me with any, you know, greenery and all that stuff. It's not going to look the best, but it's going to taste fantastic because that's who I am. I'm not going to conform. This is it. Mm. This is what I do. If you want that stuff, go someplace else.
You're not trying to make it Instagram worthy.
Right. Yeah, I'm not trying to. My food is not Instagram worthy picture wise, but it tastes good.
Yeah.
You know, and I was stuck there. You know, for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, and a very dear friend of mine, he came to me and he was like, look, you're limiting yourself. And it's not that I couldn't cook the other stuff.
Yeah.
I told you I'm type A. I do what I want to do. You know, it's not what I wanted, you know, to cook. And when I started to cook those other things, it opened me up to a whole new market.
Yeah.
And then I was able to slide in the barbecue jackfruit. Mm. Oh, would you like to try the barbecue chicken? Would you like to try the fried chicken and the greens? And you get them to come on over to the other side and they enjoy it and they love it. So that's where that staying true to you, to who you are.
Yeah.
But being willing to have a conversation and be flexible you know, about things. One of the hardest lessons. And if they were here, they would just eat this up. I'm sure they will when they watch it. But just that was one of the hardest lessons that I had to learn in this industry is flexibility.
Yeah.
Just being flexible. And it works. The majority of my business is not greens and fried chicken.
Yeah.
It just isn't, you know, because that's the dynamic that we serve. Every now and again it is, but you know, it's the vegan,
really
know, the jackfruit.
Well, you said jackfruit. I was thinking, there's a barbecue truck in Syracuse who he was doing jackfruit for a little bit and, but it was too expensive for him and not enough people were ordering it.
Mm-hmm.
But I took two of my vegetarian friends down there one day. Now I got the pork burrito that had the mac and cheese and the tater tots inside of it, and they
good. No,
that does sound good. and they got their jackfruit like barbecue pulled whatever sandwich, and they were convinced that it wasn't
that it was pulled
they
pork.
They were convinced, and the only thing that threw it off was the salt. You know, so they were like, "Well, it's not as salty as it should be." So, but yeah, that stuff. That's pretty
legit. It sells.
Yeah,
And it's great. You know, my kids are like, "Mom, what is that?" And then they tasted it and it was like, "Oh, okay." You know, so, you know, just being open, you know, to try and cook new things, you know, because I mean, seriously, I brought that. My relatives were like, "What is this? And why are you cooking that?" You know, because they had never seen it before or heard of it, to let alone try to eat it. Then when they were like, "Oh, you know, it's not that bad. It tastes good." Right. You know, so just being open, you know, to trying new ideas and taking granny's dishes and, you know, putting a spin on them.
Yeah.
You know, and it works.
So I want to ask two questions before I let you go. The first one is, what's your favorite or a couple favorite restaurants in Syracuse?
Oh, my goodness. I love Lacey's. Lacey's Tapas Bar.
Really?
Okay. I do. I have always been a fan of Lacey's. I like their cheers mentality, you know, where everybody knows your
name.
I
do like that about them.
You know, Laura and Cindy are out there, you know, greeting the folk, and the bartender is always great. So I've always been a fan of Lacey's.
They're good people.
They are. They're genuinely good-hearted people.
But as a bigger guy, there's something about it. I went years ago, maybe 4 years ago, with friends of mine. Mm-hmm. And we sat, it was my, they loved it. And I knew it was, you know, whatever, tapas, when we went. I knew it was that. But,
so your table just has a bunch of plates on it.
Yeah. But they were like, you know, it was like, I don't know, I just, that I couldn't, for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But they're great people.
Yeah, they are great people.
And it tasted good.
And it does taste good, but like I always have like 20 plates because I want this, I want this.
Yeah, exactly.
And I want that. But I really, as for a second restaurant, I'm not certain because I really don't eat out.
Yeah.
You know, and my kids are just accustomed to me, you know, cooking, you know, at home. So when I do go out, you know, it's to a place like Lacey's or, you know, to grab something. Not really a fast food fan either. So I would have to stick with Lacey's. You know, as my top top choice. That's when I go out, that's where I used to go to Santangelo's. I did used to go there.
I haven't been there in a while.
I haven't been there in years, but I would say either Lacey's or Santangelo's.
I don't get to too many, you know, we kind of have to go out for the Instagram, but we go out, the only Italian place I really have gone to in a while around here has been Tassone's in Baldwinsville.
Oh, yes.
Just
because
I, you know, and Amano downtown, which they're phenomenal. I mean, you know, he's, but yeah, I typically don't hit up too many Italian places. I don't know if it's because I am Italian, you know, but what it is, but I just don't, you know. Usually if we really want Italian food, I'll make it.
Exactly. You make it because that's what you do, you know. So
we were doing that a lot. Obviously, everybody was, but cooking a lot during quarantine. And I was trying to dial in pizzas like no other. I mean, we were making pizzas maybe 3-4 nights a week, so which I loved, but my wife eventually got sick
of it. Yeah, got tired of it.
All right. So tell everybody about your pop-up and when it's happening. And
so I am having a curbside takeout. Salt City Market is, all of their vendors are taking a week to showcase their food, their top items that are going to be on their menu, to see how the community responds to it and how they like it. So I will be at With Love on Salina Street from August 12th through the 14th. That's a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I will have lots of great food for you to come and try. You can go to our website to pre-order. Everything is pre-order. MissPrissysD.com. And our menu is there. You can get a sneak preview. Salt City Market, of course, will be putting out lots of great advertisement and stuff like that. You can hit me on their page.
Okay.
But I would love for you to all come out and, you know, get a taste of Miss Prissy and get to meet us.
Yeah. Well, I know we'll be down there for sure.
Awesome. So. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for coming down. Appreciate it. And
it's great.
Everybody go check them out.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Well, there it is, everybody. Thank you so much for checking out this week's episode of the Eat Local New York podcast. As always, make sure that you hit that subscribe button. That way you know the moment a new episode drops. And don't forget to leave us a review. Let us know what you think of the Eat Local New York podcast. You can follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all of them. You know where to find us. Just type in Eat Local New York. All right, thank you so much. We're going to catch you at the next episode of the Eat Local New York podcast.
Is your heart just aching all of the time? You've gone so far, but there ain't no end in sight. I know how it feels to be lonesome. Spend most of my days having no one, dreaming you were out there shining in the sun. Lonely soul, hoping that they find someone. Baby, I hope I find you. Something true, just another lie. 'Cause I don't want to waste all of your time. Break your heart, baby, I just might. 'Cause I know how it feels to be lonesome. Spend most of my days having no one. Dreaming you were out there shining in the sun. A lonely soul, hoping that they find someone. I hope that I find you.